The chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, his select, his party, the case of his knowledge, his argument, his path, his light, his proof. Allah's mercy and blessings to be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. And in one of these very long conversations that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam has with one of his companions, and most probably, I think, it is related that it is a companion from Ahwaz. And it's amazing because this companion must have been a very close companion of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, because the conversation is a very, very lengthy conversation. But there's different themes that come out from this conversation. In one such place, we have Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam talks about how Allah the Almighty has not put some kind of a watcher or a guardian or a preventer over human beings that will prevent them from carrying out what Allah has ordered them to do. Now, the context of the whole conversation is something which we don't have time to delve into, but what we do want to kind of understand and pick out from at least this, you know, very short statement is that there is nothing, you know, that Allah has ordained which prevents us from fulfilling our duties and our obligations and from fulfilling those things which Allah has ordered us to do. So I guess there's different points that we learn from this. The first point, of course, is that if we ourselves, you know, the individual is the one who either makes excuses or brings up, you know, illegitimate reasons, or prevents their own self from following and obeying the orders of the Almighty Allah. So the first individual that we must look towards, and perhaps ultimately the only individual that we must look towards when we are looking for who to blame when it comes to the disobedience of the Almighty Allah, is ourself. You know, sometimes we kind of have a tendency to blame everything on shaitan or the shayateen, the devils, and, you know, from the jinn and the men. Yes, they have their own place, and they insinuate one, they push one, they egg one on, as it is, you know, commonly referred to as said. But that's all that it is. It's kind of a poking you in the ribs to kind of get a reaction from you. But ultimately, you know, with the help of the Almighty Allah, of course, you know, we will see that ultimately, with the help of Allah, we can withstand that poking of the devils in their various different forms. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it is us as individuals, you know, who unfortunately end up deciding to disobey the Almighty Allah. And as Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam has said, that Allah has not put anything or anyone over us which will prevent us from doing that which we must do or from not doing that which we must not do. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/EN Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. Rabbana
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdu wa thana'u lillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salat wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his blessings and we send our salutations to the Holy Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, the last messenger of Allah, and to his pure progeny, and to all of his true followers throughout history, all the way until today. And we express our dissociation from anyone who opposes their cause and who expressed animosity to them. We have been talking to We have been speaking about the du'as of the beautiful book Sahifa Sajjadiyah, the legacy of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, and we got to the 12th du'a of this great book, his supplication in confession and in seeking repentance toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these days, these very golden moments that will have no guarantee to be repeated in our lives are the final moments and final days of the holy month of Ramadan. Most of the times, there is a decay in the volume of our worship and in the quality of our actions and deeds, especially after the finishing of Laylatul Qadr, the third Laylatul Qadr, which is the 23rd. Most of the times people are so ready to welcome the Eid al-Fitr, and they might express, exhaustion in regards to, you know, what they have been practicing in the past 2-3 decades or 20 to 30 days. But the point is to make sure that these remaining hours of this month is as important as the very beginning of this month. So let's take a break to come back and see what inshallah we have from Sahifa Sajjadiyah in this session.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana. ربنا
Alright, respected listeners, may Allah accept all your deeds and fastings during the month of Ramadan. We've got to the part that we said, we called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in number of most beautiful manners. And that was in the very midst of this dua. It says, وَيَا مَنْ تَحَمَّدَ إِلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ بِحُسْنِ التَّجَاوُزِ O, the one who seeks his creature's praise with excellent forbearance. And وَيَا مَنْ عَوَّدَ عِبَادَهُ قَبُولَ الْإِنَابَةِ O, the one who will habituate his servants by accepting their repeated turnings, by the acceptance of their repeated turnings, the who have accustomed your servants to be so. We have learned that one of the worst habits that anyone can adapt or get accustomed to is that if they made a tawbah, if they decided to abandon a habit, a deed, an action, and all of a sudden they broke their pledge or they couldn't keep up to their promise, so what? So now it's the time to go completely into the arms of shaitan and disobey Allah completely? No, that's not the case. That's in fact one of the techniques of shaitan to deceive us. I say, all right, you promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray on time on Laylatul Qadr, remember? And today you just forgot and you prayed on the very last possible moment permissible for praying, for offering Salat al-Fajr. Then, you know, let's abandon prayer. That's wrong. All right, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have chosen to postpone my Salat. I shouldn't have procrastinated. But so what? Remember, sinning is the trap of shaitan to leave the circle of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should try to avoid falling into that trap. We should try our best to avoid entering into that trap, because that trap will cause us exiting from wilayatullah, from the guardianship of our Creator, our Lord. وَيَا مَنْ عَوَّدَ عِبَادَهُ قَبُولَ الْعِبَادَةِ O the one who has accustomed his servants to acceptance, to the acceptance of their repeated turnings. Let's take a quick break and come back.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All right, respected listeners to IRIB English Radio. So one of the lessons that we can take from this phrase of Sahifa Sajjadiyah taught to us by Imam Zainul Abidin, where he says, where he calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the one who accustomed his servants, his worshippers, to acceptance of repeated tawbah, repeated turnings to him. One of the very main lessons is that if you broke your pledge, do not let that be the end line. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have nowhere else to go. وَيَوْمَ نِسْتَصْلَحَ فَاسِدَهُمْ بِالتَّوْبَةِ O he who seeks to heal their corruption, the corruption of the people, through repentance. So, one of the consequences, or one of the good side benefits of tawbah, is that it heals the corruptions of what sinning has caused to us. What corruption itself causes is that things are misplaced. This is what corruption is defined as. Things not being in the spot they should be, right? That is corruption. So how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal it? He heals it with tawbah. So by tawbah, one of the consequences or one of the benefits of tawbah is that whatever that has been corrupted will, inshallah, will be put back together in the spot that it should be put. For example, you made a mistake and, you know, you've caused hearts of many broken. By seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you tawfiq to seek their satisfaction as well. So, oh Allah, heal our corruptions with tawbah and help us to do so, inshallah, in the remaining time of the month of Ramadan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
یا سجاد
Thirty ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulema, that are Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In that episode of the Ramadan special series, we are going to speak about sensitivity towards sin, indecency and evil deeds with a look at Ayah 92 of Surah Tawbah of the Noble Quran. Stay with us, please. Among the characteristics that God likes very much, and every faithful should have it, is qayrat, which means sensitivity towards evil and sin. According to a hadith, God likes qayrat among the faithful. Qayrat means strong defense of dignity, face, family, religion, property, and country. This sensitivity acts like a vigilant police in the spirit of human being, guarding red lines and boundaries. It urges us to be alert against evil acts and sin. A hadith from the Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, reads, Allah assigned two angels to punish a city. The people of the city were very rude and immoral. They felt no regret for their sins and did not give up their evil deeds. Allah sent them to raise the city to the ground. They saw a worshipper among the people who was praying, crying, and supplicating. One of the angels told the other, "Let us go and ask him again." The other angel said, "Do your duty." The first one said, "Perhaps the command has changed as the man may have repented. Wait so that I ask for our duty again." So that angel went back and asked Allah, as he had seen a worshipper among the people. Allah said, "The duty is the same. Go to the city and destroy it." Then Allah added, "It is true that this man is engaged in worship and prayer, but he is never upset and angry with the sin of others, and this respect to the divine laws, and his face didn't change. He has no religious sensitivity." The sensitivity of persons towards belief and religion is inevitable. The deeper is one's belief in his religion, the more sensitive he will be toward religion. The opposite of religious sensitivity is compromise and coming short on religious red lines and principles. This is called pliability and indifference. A sensitive person cannot tolerate insulting of divine laws, principles, and sanctities. When God obligates something, he wants it to be done. As we said in the beginning of this episode, Ayah 92 of Surah Tawbah is somehow related to this issue. Nor is there any blame on those to whom, when they came to you to provide them with a mount, you said, "I do not find any mount for you." They turned back while their eyes were flowing with tears, grieved because they did not find any means to spend. Those faithful had no means for jihad, but religious sensitivity made them very upset, and they cried in grief. Today, some people insist on ignoring of religious values and principles, saying, in the modern time, we shouldn't be sensitive and rigid towards values. We should endure all tastes, ideas, and behaviors, and give them chance to show themselves. The pliable people think that if person does an indecent act in public, insults sanctities, rights profanities, we should not react. They argue that not everybody thinks the same in society and everyone have their own idea. So, if we want to live comfortably, we have to tolerate them. They even attribute their justification to some Quranic ayahs. For instance, they mention Ayah 185 of Surah Baqarah, part of which reads, Allah desires ease for you, and He does not desire hardship for you. They also resort to Ayah 21 of Surah Al-Ghashiyah. So, admonish for you are only an admonisher. But these people should be asked as what is their opinion on Ayah 19 of Surah Al-Imran, part of which reads, Indeed, with Allah, religion is Islam. Or, what do they think about Ayah 73 of Surah Tawbah, part of which reads, O Prophet, wage jihad against the faithless and the hypocrites and be severe with them. We should not forget that tolerance and taking easy of religious laws not only is accepted, but also it is the origin of religion. And if taking easy means to spread Islam through argument and logical debate, it is correct. Yet, one cannot come short and be indifferent against affront towards religious values. We read in history that a delegation came to the Prophet and told him, We will pay allegiance to you with three conditions. We will not perform daily ritual prayer. We will not break our idols ourselves. And let the idol Lot to remain for 1 year so that we can worship it. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, There is no use in the religion that has no bowing and prostration. As for breaking of your idols, if you don't want to break them, we will break them. But on worshipping of Lot, I will never give you such a permission. Sure, the Prophet stood firmly against their excessive and illogical demands and rejected them. It has also been narrated on the revelation of Surah Kafirun that chiefs of polytheists came up to the Prophet and told him, O Muhammad, you obey your religion so that we obey yours and make you our partner in all our privileges. You worship our deities for 1 year and the following year we will worship your God. The Messenger of Mercy told them, I take refuge with God that I may ascribe and associate to Him. Then the Prophet came to the sacred mosque after the revelation of this surah and told the chiefs of polytheists, O you the faithless, I will never worship what you worship.
شیخ باقر شریف القرشی decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi,
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was...
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan,
Maulavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Being more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly lives of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, personalities, ulama and scholars during the history of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, Assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the fuqaha of the 13th century Hijra, one of the most outstanding students of Muhammad Hassan al-Najafi and Sheikh al-Ansari, Mirza Habibullah Rashdi. He was famous for nurturing so many outstanding students of the houses of Najaf and Iraq. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life of Mirza Habibullah Rashdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. About Mirza Habibullah Rashdi's biography, what we can mention here is that his father was Mirza Muhammad Ali Khan, son of Jahangir Khan Qochani Gilani, one of the most famous Shia scholars in his time. So his ancestors were originally from Qochan, who were forced to move to Gilan in early 7th, let's say, century. And he was born in 1234, and of course in a village of, in one of the villages of Gilan, is which is a province in northern part of nowadays Iran.
Yes.
And he passed away in Jumad al-Thani in 1312, and of course then in Najaf al-Ashraf, and was buried in one of the rooms around the country yard of the holy shrine of Amir al-Mu'minin, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam.
That's right. Sheikh Fadai, now the major question is that so many of the outstanding scholars of Islam, especially the Shiite ulama and fuqaha, left their hometown in order to migrate to another country, Iraq, on that time, especially the cities of Najaf, Samarra, and Karbala, in order to attend the courses of outstanding scholars over there. It seems to be a very hard travel and difficult travel, especially on that time, without facilities. What motivations do you think they had to do so?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We can say that the main difference between religious knowledge and non-religious knowledge is that in religious knowledge, the scholar feel a very deep responsibility.
Yes.
But usually in non-religious knowledge, people and the scientists think about themselves more than the others. Of course, they benefit other people as well. But the main focus is on themselves in order to improve, in order to gain some wealth, to have a good life, and beside that, to help some people as well. But when people enter the sphere of religious knowledge, they think about other people more than themselves.
Yes.
When you feel this deep responsibility, we can say that you pass from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can tolerate every difficulties.
Yes.
Our scholars were like that.
Mm-hmm.
When they felt this responsibility that we, as the scholars of religion, have to teach this religion and preach this religion, so we have to tolerate a lot of difficulties. One of the difficulties was that migration. As you mentioned, this migration was not easy. At that time, for example, moving from Rasht or Gilan, as we call yes. it, the province, Iranian province,
yes.
to other country like Iraq, yes. By, I don't know, horse and camels,
yes.
and even
unfeed him, even
unfeed, sometimes right. unfeed,
okay. yes.
usually with their families, okay. with their wives, with their children,
yes.
and among a lot of diseases,
wow.
among a lot of thieves,
yes.
in the ways.
Yes.
You know, they had to pay a lot. They had to spend a lot of time. Maybe yes. these migration spent for 6 months or 1 year
yes.
to go to
they were on the way to go to Najaf yes. or Karbala. That's
but, you know, okay. now we just read in the books that they migrated from this country to that country. That's
okay.
it.
Okay.
But it is not like that.
Yes.
They. I want to say that they felt their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, they did that. For example, if you check the teachers and the students
yes.
of these great scholars, Mirza Habibullah Rashti,
yes.
you can see that this chain of scholars, these are the famous ones that even now in our Hoza we are benefiting from them, we are using from their knowledge.
Yes.
What is the common point? Mm-hmm. The common point is that responsibility.
That's right.
From professor and teacher to the students, again from that students as a teacher to his student, they transfer this responsibility. For example, Muhammad Hassan Najafi, nowadays in Hoza we call it Sahib Jawahir.
Yes.
And Sheikh Ansari.
They were the teachers of...
Yes, the authors of Rasail right. and Makasib.
Yes, yes.
You know, Jawahir, Rasail and Makasib are the main yes. books,
yes.
textbooks in Hausa. These are his professors and mm-hmm. teachers. And then about his student, Sayyid Muhammad Kazemi Yazdi, we know it as Sahib Urve.
Yes.
Aghaziya Araghi, Mirza Naini.
Yes.
You know, this is a chain.
Yes.
They are the, I can say, the scholars that felt that responsibility
uh-huh. okay.
and tolerated all the difficulties in order to transfer that legacy of religion to us, and nowadays we are using that legacy because
yes.
of their
okay.
hard working.
That's right.
That.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, when we look at their personal individual life, we can find them very much humble. The people who never were after reputation or something. For example, they say that Mirza Habibullah Rashti was among the best students of Sheikh Al-Ansari, but after the demise of the Sheikh, he never accepted the position of Marja'iyya or Za'ama, it's better to say custodianship and guardianship of the houses, and referred the people to Mirza Shirazi on that time. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of their religious personal life, Sheikh.
Yes, about the, let's say, moral characteristics of these great scholar, there are many points that could be mentioned. One of these that is that his special moral characteristic made him a very pious kind of personality.
Yes.
Who was famous for his asceticism.
Yes.
He always remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seized any opportunities to recite the Holy Quran or prayers and supplications. And he was so careful and cautious that he could not easily answer the questions that he was asked without complete research. And he was so respectful toward Mirza Shirazi that he encouraged people to ask their question from him and to be his followers, muqallid, not muqallid of his own self,
yes.
muqallid of this Sayyid. Mirza Shirazi, I mean.
Yes.
Although he was the top student of Sheikh Al-Ansari, but of course, as you rightly mentioned, after his demise, he did not take, let's say, Shari'i funds, I mean, khums or wujuhat,
yes.
and okay. never actually showed the slightest desire to become marja taqlid, even when his student insisted on his becoming a marja, but yes. He actually directed them towards Mirza-i Shirazi.
You mean he was the marja, but he was not accepting the official position of the custodianship of the Hauza on that time.
Yeah, of course. Yes. There were lots of these kind of scholars, even Shaykh Sayyid ibn Tawus, rahmatullah alayhi, was also the same, that he did not answer the fiqh questions.
Yes.
He also tried in his life not to interfere to any kind of fiqh or jurisprudential issues.
That's right.
Because not becoming a marja'i taqlid. The same case is with this great scholar.
That's right.
This is the moral kind of characteristics of many of the Shia scholars that could give us lots of lessons, mm-hmm. particularly the students of Hauza and the ulama of this modern time of the Shayu. Yes.
And one of the interesting points about the life of Mirza Haybullah Rashti is compiling a kind of book typically known as Hashiya, or the marginal notes or explanations to great books of his masters, Shaykh Al-Ansari and Muhammad Hassan Al-Najafi. Bada'u Al-Afkar, which is a Hashiya on Najat al-Abad of Sahib al-Jawahir, is one of them. So what was the need to write such explanations or marginal notes to great books of the teachers, Sheikh Fadai?
You know, in the system of Hauza, it was like that you go to the classes of a professor,
mm-hmm.
you use from him, but you never stop. You don't want to just imitate what he said. You don't want to just stay at that level.
Yes.
They always try to improve the borders of knowledge.
Yes.
You know, Hashiya or marginal notes has two aspects. The first aspect is to explain what the teacher said.
Okay.
Why? For example, we say that he was one of the top students of Sheikh Al-Ansari or Muhammad Hassan Najafi. So he could understand what his teacher, Sheikh Ansari, said better than us, and even better than the other students at that time.
Okay.
First of all, he wanted, and not just he, Habibullah Rashti, as I told you, in the system of Hauza, it was like that, and even now it is like that. First of all, they want to explain what the professor said at the class.
Yes.
In order to stop and prevent misunderstanding from the lessons of the professor. The other aspect is to improve the border of knowledge. Maybe after reaching the level of ijtihad, especially after this level, maybe the student doesn't accept some of the ideas and theories of the teacher.
Uh-huh.
So they never were like that to copy all the theories of the teacher.
Okay.
For example, in our Hauza, we have Ayatollah Jawadi as one of the great professors, the students of Allama Tabatabai.
Yes.
You know, people who don't know about these two great scholars think that so Ayatollah Jawadi is his students of Allama Tabatabai, and he copied all the theories of Allama Tabatabai.
Yes.
But if you go to his lessons, for example, what I did, when you go to his lessons for several years, you can understand that he has various different ideas.
Uh-huh.
So marginal notes, one of the aspects of marginal notes is
It's better to say he adds some new perspectives to the old, for example,
as I said, improving materials. The borders of knowledge.
Yes.
A good student never main a copier.
Yes.
Never main an imitator.
Yes, yes.
This is the science.
Yes.
And it is interesting that we can see in the history that in the age of 25, he reached the level of ijtihad. You know, ijtihad is not something easy.
Yes.
If we want to compare with the degrees of our knowledges in universities nowadays, at least ijtihad is a combination of 10 doctorates.
Yes.
At least.
Okay.
In the, ilm of fiqh, usul, rijal, diraye, I don't know, philosophy, and in ilm al-hadith, a lot of different. He should be a master at least in 10 field of studies. In which age? In the age of 25.
Yes.
You know, our scholars were genius once.
Yes.
And why? Because they tried a lot.
Yes.
You know, they never thought about, I don't know, how much income I have. And nowadays in Jose University, if we want to study, the first of all, we think about income.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to study, how much can I get? If I cannot have a good life,
yes,
I would leave these studies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our legacy of Hosea was not like that.
Yes, okay, that's right. Thank you very much. Sheikh Rouhani, anything missed?
Not actually. The points mentioned regarding these great scholars, yes.
Okay, thank you very much for a nice elaboration regarding the life of Mirza Habibullah Rashdi. He passed away on Jamadi Osani 14th. It was Thursday, 13-12, in the city of Najaf at the age of 78. His body was taken into one of the we can say chambers or rooms around the holy tomb of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he was buried in the holy courtyard of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the city of Najaf. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man. May Allah protect the following generations of the scholars who still are busy with nurturing students all across the Islamic houses around the world. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parsure.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
World Oats Day in the heat of Gaza war. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. World Oats Day of 2024 arrives while 6 months have passed since the start of Al-Aqsa storm in Gaza. This astounding operation has yielded very important outcomes for the region, as it has surely accelerated the end of the cancerous tumor of Israel to result in a very bright future for the region and the world at large. The 7th of October 2023 will last forever in the history of West Asia. On that day, the combatants of Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, attacking the Zionist regime, imposed the greatest defeat on Israel since its illegitimate birth in 1948. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, called it as an irreparable defeat, saying that Israel, after the operation, would be different from the Israel before. The fabricated Zionist regime, after this disgraceful defeat, which shook the regime to its foundations, launched bestial attacks on the people of Gaza, leading to over 33,000 martyrs and 76,000 injured, most of whom are women and children. Now, 6 months after the outbreak of war, what are the achievements of Al-Aqsa Storm? Please stay tuned for the first part of the two-part special feature on the World Oats Day to review these achievements.
The most important achievement of Al-Afzal Storm is to shatter the myth of invincibility of the Zionist regime army. This fake regime, through worldwide propaganda supported by the Western media, has sold to the world public opinion that Israel has the most powerful army in West Asia and one of the most powerful armies in the world. This media deception has continued for over 7 decades. Al-Aqsa Storm not only shattered this myth, but also it was a very big scandal for the Zionist regime's intelligence and security system, which used to boast of detecting any move against the regime. More than 1,500 Zionist forces were killed in Al-Aqsa Storm, and 550 others have also been killed for the past 6 months. The Israeli intelligence and surveillance organizations failed to monitor and detect this great operation, which had been designed several months earlier. Furthermore, these organizations have failed to find a place of keeping their captives by Hamas after 6 months, and that in a 300,000-kilometer area. Elijah Majnir, analyst of international military issues with the Egyptian daily Al-Misr Al-Yawm, said that the evaluation of the developments in the battlefront proves the military defeat of the Israeli regime in the war against Palestine. He adds that since Israel has not reached the goals such as liberation of its captives, defeating of Hamas and prevention of attacks on the settlements, it can be said that Israel has been defeated. Another achievement of Al-Aqsa Storm is the great victory of Hamas, as the Zionist regime had promised to defeat it and liberate its prisoners, neither of which have materialized. Meanwhile, despite Israeli genocide in Gaza and the heavy propaganda against Hamas in the world media, opinion polls show that more than 70% of the people of Gaza continue supporting Hamas and Al-Aqsa Storm. This has been confirmed even by the Secularist Political Research Center close to the Self-Rule Authority of Palestine. This poll indicates that 71% of Palestinians have announced their satisfaction with Al-Aqsa Storm. Hamas achieved this victory while war with the Zionist regime is an asymmetric war, hence, beyond classical military standards. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said to the visiting head of Hamas political bureau, Ismail Haniyeh, that what caused the failure of the Zionist regime in attaining its military goals was the historical patience of the people of Gaza in the face of the Zionist regime's crimes and savagery. Another important achievement of Al-Aqsa Storm and 6 months of the Zionist regime's war against Gaza is that it destroyed the view that the Palestinian issue has ended. Al-Aqsa Storm turned Palestine to the most important global issue. For the recent years, particularly with the betrayal of some of the reactionary Arab regimes to normalize ties with Israel, the Palestinian issue was going to the margin and had almost lost its prominence as the priority of the Islamic world. Today, Palestine is a top issue of not just Islamic world, but the whole world. That's why today it is very ordinary to see demonstrations in France, Germany, Britain, Australia, and the US with hundreds of thousands of people pouring to the streets to demand for the rights of innocent people of Gaza and ending of the ongoing Israeli genocide in the region. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, said to Ismail Haniyeh that the patience and the steadfastness of the people in Gaza is a grand phenomena which has really dignified Islam and, in spite of the enemy's intention, has turned the issue of Palestine into the first world issue. Al-Aqsa Storm and 6 months of the Israeli war against Gaza have deepened and highlighted internal differences in the occupied territories. These differences have been there for the past years too. 5 parliamentary elections were held in 4 years, between 2019 to 2023, but Netanyahu's cabinet was set up with the collaboration of extremists. The war in Gaza has further revealed the extremist nature of Netanyahu's warmongering cabinet in the occupied territories. The recent trip of Benny Gantz of war cabinet to the US and Britain was an indicative of internal differences in the Israeli entity. He has turned into the main option of premiership after Netanyahu and Joe Biden administration and the European allies of Israel are very much interested in his coming to power. In reaction to his sudden trips, Benjamin Netanyahu tried to prevent appropriation of government facilities for Gantz and cooperation of the Zionist regime embassies in the US and Britain with him. This was done to show that Israel has a prime minister. However, the latest internal difference inside the Israeli cabinet is related to Gideon Moshe Sar. Sar, who was justice minister between 2021 to 2022, has announced to step down from the cabinet. The move prophesizes the disintegration of the shaky warmongering cabinet. The solidarity and coherence of the Axis of Resistance was another great achievement of Al-Aqsa Storm and the Israeli war against Gaza. The players of resistance have, on the one hand, tried to prevent the expansion of war in the region, and on the other hand, they have taken important measures in support for Gaza. The Lebanese anti-terrorist movement Hezbollah and the valorous Yemeni Ansarullah are two important players of the Axis of Resistance, which have officially entered the war against the Zionist regime. This shows that resistance has not geographical boundary. Ayatollah Khamenei said in his speech on the first day of the Iranian New Year, "The resistance front has unveiled its true situation. Perhaps neither the Americans nor the Westerners nor the regional governments didn't know the power of the resistance and the ability of the resistance in the region as it really existed and exists. But now they have realized." Al-Aqsa Storm has also proved the defeat of the US. The United States has stood by the Zionist regime since the very start of the war on October 7, 2023, as it has called it the Israeli genocide as legitimate defense. The US President Joe Biden traveled to the occupied territories a little after the outbreak of war, but his State Secretary Antony Blinken has traveled 7 times to the region during the past 6 months. These trips, on the one hand, meant the US full support for and complicity with the Zionist regime in its unprecedented crimes in Gaza. On the other hand, however, these trips laid bare the differences between the two comrades in crime. The US has 3 times vetoed the UN Security Council resolutions for ceasefire in Gaza. This was an ethical scandal for the US government. The latest resolution, which was faced with the neutral vote of the American member of the UNSC, not only had not mentioned the name of Hamas, but also had called for halting a war in Gaza. And the climate in the UNSC session was clearly anti-Israel and anti-US. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said in his speech in the beginning of the new Iranian year,
America adopted the worst possible condition in the issue of Gaza. America chose the worst possible condition in Gaza region. It did something that made it hated in the whole world. These people who demonstrate in the streets of London, Paris, and other European countries, and America itself in favor of Palestine, are indeed announcing hatred towards America. America has become hated in the world. It was hated in the region. It has become 10 times more hated.